Michael, it is 6:00 PM of Tuesday, February 14, 2023, and I call the Wrangell Assembly to order. Tonight's Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Assemblymember Howe. Please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, ceremonial matters, there are none. Except, wait a minute. Assembly, we just got a notice from a state agency, and it concerns the Public Works Department. And with your permission, I'd like to invite Tom Wader, our Public Works Director, to explain this notice.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, Assemblymembers. Wanted to meet with everybody here tonight to acknowledge an award that one of our staff has received. Brian Christian has been recognized as the Wastewater Operator of the Year for 2022 from Alaska Rural Water Association. Alaska Rural Water Association is an organization that works to provide support and solutions for small communities in managing water and wastewater systems in Alaska in an ever-changing world of regulations and finance. Alaska Rural Water helps with surveys to keep us in compliance. They offer trainings to keep staff up to date, and they advocate on behalf of small water and wastewater systems with the state. Brian Christian's been with the city for 30 years now. Brian started out in 1993 with the Harbor Department before becoming the lead wastewater operator, a position he's held since the late 90s. Having worked with Brian for a few years now, I can say that he is incredibly knowledgeable and skilled at operating our wastewater system here in Wrangell. Brian knows our system inside and out and better than anyone else in the city. He can be counted on and relied upon to troubleshoot issues and keep our plant in good working order. Brian's knowledge and expertise have been instrumental in navigating the 301H waiver process. Additionally, Brian has been passing this information along and mentoring other staff so that folks like Andrew Scambler have also been able to be very involved with the process as well. Having worked here for so long, Brian does have retirement plans on the horizon. He's going to leave some big shoes to fill, and he will be greatly missed. And on behalf of the city and borough of Wrangell, Brian, we're proud to present you with this award and want to thank you for your many years of service for working with the city. I was trying to keep it that way. This was a surprise for Brian, so no.
No speech?
I thought it would work.
Thank you for your 30 years of dedicated service to Wrangell. You will be missed, but we sincerely hope you enjoy your retirement.
Guaranteed I will.
But stay close to the phone. We may have any problems for you to solve.
We can do that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
There's to be recognized by your peers for your work. That's something.
That's awesome. Very special.
Yeah, well, it caught me off guard for sure.
Good. That was good. It was planned too.
Good job, Tom.
All right, Assembly. Roll call, please.
Yes, Assemblymembers Morrison.
Here.
Ryan Howe.
Here.
Dalrymple.
Here.
David Powell.
Here.
Sorry about that. DeBoard.
Jeez.
Robbins.
Here.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Here. And persons to be heard.
I forgot to turn on the thing, so Sage is calling me. So it's on now.
All right, under persons to be heard, first one signed up is Brett Stillwall, a resident who likes to speak on the trolling issue. Would you like to speak now or when the item comes up? Okay, just go to the microphone, please, and introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Brett Stillwall, the Wrangell representative for the Alaska Trollers Association, otherwise known as ATA. Based on membership, ATA is the largest and oldest commercial fishing organization in the region. 85% of troll permits are Alaska resident owned. We are threatened with being shut down after 100 years of sustainable fishing. Why, it seems our small boat artisan fishery, 1,000 miles away, is catching an average of 400 Puget Sound kings a year, denying the southern resident killer whales those fish. Meanwhile, the Washington State sport fishery catches 84,000 Puget Sound kings in the Straits of Juan de Fuca every year. And I'm here representing ATA to ask for a resolution from the Wrangell Borough Assembly in support of our ongoing fight with Wildlife Fish Conservancy, otherwise known as WFC. I'm also asking for a donation to ATA's legal fund to help in our fight against the WFC. The communities of Craig, Port Alexander, Pelican, Sitka, Petersburg, and Ketchikan have all donated or are in the process of donating to the legal fund. I believe if the trawlers are shut down by this lawsuit, it'll pave the way to shut down all commercial and sport salmon fishing in Southeast Alaska. As a basis for this suit is a NOAA National Marine Fisheries flawed biop, an incidental take permit. The same biop used to justify the sport, troll, seine, and gillnet fisheries in Southeast Alaska. WFC's other agenda is to shut down all hatchery production of salmon. Basically, Southeast Alaska's economy and tax base is under attack by a well-funded Seattle-based NGO. So that's all I've got for now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Assembly, do you have any questions for him, for Brett? Okay. Assemblymember Morrison.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Is this already with the judge in the 9th District?
Yes, it is.
So it is with the judge already?
Yes, actually it went through a magistrate, now it's to a judge. I'm not sure where it goes from here. In fact, a lot of the process... Oh, sorry. a lot of the processors are in, don't know what to do right now because contracts, employees, everything else. We don't know if this decision is going to be made in a month, 2 months, 3 months. We don't know. So that's kind of where we're at right now. The other thing is if this does, if we are shut down, there'll be appeal process, and it could essentially shut the fishery down for 2 years if that happens. And I don't know if any of our buyers or infrastructure will be here in 2 years after, you know, we're shut down for 2 years in that industry.
Thank you. All right, and our last group under persons to be heard are our own Wrangell Girl Scouts. Would you please come to the microphone and introduce yourselves?
Hi, my name is AJ.
Okay.
Hi, AJ.
Okay. I'm a cadet. And today I will be talking about the goals and projects the Girl Scouts have been working on. Our goal is to make it to Girl Scout Convention in 2026. There is a convention every 3 years. Our current project is making canvas. We are painting them, and when they're done, we are going to empty our current ones and put the new ones where they used to be. And our new ones are just like really broken right now and rotting, so we're trying to fix them and get new ones so it's safer for us Girl Scouts to be in. When we get those in, we're gonna go around town and ask the restaurants if they would like to put recycling bins in their buildings to contribute to Girl Scout funding. Thank you for listening.
Hello, my name is Alila, and I'm a Girl Scout cadet. Us Girl Scouts are learning about leadership and how to become good leaders. Why is it important to be a strong leader? It is important because you can play fair games with little to no conflict, and you can also get many different jobs with leadership as a skill. Thank you for being leaders of Wrangell. We have a gift for you. Bye.
Listening audience, they are distributing flowers and it looks like candy to the assembly.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Okay.
You can pass me a
cigarette. Oh, that's my name on
it.
You guys are so sweet. Right.
Oh, thank you.
You guys should come like every meeting.
Are you in the bathroom?
Such a breath of fresh air.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do you guys get a badge for this?
I don't know. Yeah.
Yes, they do.
I was gonna
public
say.
Speaking, yeah.
Thank you.
There is definitely a public speaking badge.
Yeah. Thank you.
You did very well.
You did really well.
Yeah, you guys did great.
Thank you.
And practice makes perfect.
Thank you.
You think so?
Here.
There's probably one. Jim isn't here.
Oh, I was like, yeah.
Do you want me to hold it for him and give it to him?
Okay.
He'll definitely like it.
Thank you.
Girls, it sounds like a good project you have going.
It does.
So thank you for doing that for Rangel.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Oh, thank you.
I got two.
No.
All right. Assembly. Amendments to the agenda. Does any assembly member have any amendments to the agenda? Okay. Hearing none. Conflict of interest.
I have a...
Assembly member Powell.
Possible conflict of interest on 13E. I have the financial permit.
All right. I declare that you belong to a class of hand trollers, so therefore I'll disregard your declaration.
Okay.
Any other conflict of interest? Assembly member Dalrymple.
I'm looking for that number here.
What does it concern?
It's the one concern.
13C.
13C.
The art gallery.
Art gallery, yeah. Yeah, thank you. I'm a member of the museum.
Friends of the
museum. And I don't know if that's really applicable for tonight, but I just wanted to declare that.
Okay. All right. And we have another. We have several friends of the museum. I declare you have no conflict, both of you. All right. Any other conflict of interest? All right, hearing none, let's move on to consent agenda. Entertain a motion.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Okay, motion by Morrison, second by Robbins. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, poll vote please.
Yes, Assembly members Ryan Howe.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
David Powell.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
Morrison.
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Yes. Okay, Assembly, getting to the good part here, Borough Manager's Report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Assembly, just a couple things to report on today. So we did hire Lucy Robinson for Parks and Rec Director, so I just want to say congratulations to her for that position. Myself, the mayor, Assemblymember Morrison, and Amber Aladad, we went to the Southeast Conference January 31st to February 2nd, and we had a chance to meet with Senator Stedman and Representative Ortiz to discuss Wrangell capital project needs. And in addition, we were able to meet with the Department of Natural Resources to discuss our entitlement lands. And there has been delay in getting our entitlement lands. Part of the delay is the cost of the survey and actually doing the survey. We did ask them about the possibility of conducting aerial surveys instead to try to speed up that process. And they said they'd look into it, but it could be possibly the federal requirements as well from whenever the initial transfer was made. They also asked if we were interested in specific areas of our entitlement lands. So if we just wanted like 20, 30 acres or 40 acres, we could just do that very specific targeted area and then try to get that process through faster. So. Like if planning and zoning had a specific area in mind that we could afford to survey, then we could try to move in those areas first, and then that would help us get funding to then possibly move to the different areas and expand out from there. But we are able to do that if we would like to.
And Assembly, you do have a copy of what we got from DNR, and do you want to explain to them, for instance, the patent acreage 2068 acres? It has been, the deed has been recorded. We have full ownership, but we don't know exactly what those lands are. So I'm right. going to task you within the next couple of months to solve that puzzle for us. And then, Assembly, if you look, there's 7,205 acres that have been approved, and we do have management authority over that, and they said we could even sell it if we surveyed it, but we'd have to have the stipulation that the deed will be coming from the state, so.
Correct.
And then you'll see that that doesn't quite add up to the 9,006 acres that we were awarded. It's 267 acres over, and we may or may not retain that overage. The other questions we asked was, we don't own the subsurface rights, the state does, and we
Correct.
Don't own the tidelands.
Correct.
Yeah, right. So we're getting closer.
It is, yeah, and I mean, I think just the ability to manage the land and then even to pick out what we want and then try to sell that now, because we'd have to do the surveys anyway if we want to do the lots, like if we want to sell some of the land, we have to do that anyway. So I think it definitely gives us, a faster path to where we need to get to by being able to survey those smaller areas.
And they promised us that we'd have answers, not in years, but in months.
Correct.
And we'd like planning and zoning and economic development to weigh in on this and come up with decisions on marketing it or going out for timber sales. Assemblymember Morrison.
Yes, the other thing that they did talk about, or at least we did with Stedman, and I can't remember if we talked about it with DNR, was the possibility of aerial surveying, which would be faster and a lot less expensive.
Correct.
So that's something at least they're thinking about.
Right. And we are moving forward.
Yes.
So this is good.
Correct.
Okay. Sorry.
Well, that's good. That's good detail. Capital projects. So one of the projects that we've had some questions on is the school elevator and the fire alarm systems. And those are still tracking for us. And we're targeting this summer, but given the time frame we're at now and what we're looking at for possible material shipment, it could be the fall time frame for the replacement of that, but it is something that could be done during the school year, so it wouldn't disrupt the classes too much to be able to do that. It's just in the elevator area.
But let's shoot for the beginning of school to have that completed.
We'll do our best.
Okay.
We'll do our best.
Because it's been several years that they've Correct. Been without that, so. Okay.
We have received our proffered permit from the Army Corps of Engineers to work on the Aldertop Village. So that's basically our Army Corps of Engineers permit. I'm going through the review of that right now before I sign it and send it back, but next couple days I'll sign it, send it back, and then we'll have our permit to kind of move forward. It does have some stipulations in there as far as what the requirements are from us on that, as far as what we have to, what we'll have to buy back for any of the wetlands mitigation. So I think of the 3.3 acres, they want 24.73 acres of mitigation bought back. So there are some stipulations in there that we'll have to meet. So.
And do you want to tell the assembly that we asked about trading entitlement lands for that mitigation?
We did, I think until we actually own it and have it, I don't think we can trade. And it's so we actually have to have it and designated to be able to do that, and I think it takes a lot of time is what they were saying as well.
Yeah, so then we'll buy the mitigation out of a bank.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Was there a question?
That was just going to be my question, was the mitigation. They call it extortion.
It is extortion.
Right. But the good news is we do have it in hand now, so once I get that signed, we get it, we can then start moving forward. The design work is ongoing as we talk, so hopefully next couple months we'll have the design done and be able to start moving forward with that. Metlakatla has notified other communities that the invasive green crab is starting to be caught in their area. So I think this is a warning for everyone. It's starting to work its way north. So just kind of be on the lookout for it. And if you find it or catch one in your trap, please let us know. And then a reminder that we are finishing up the property assessments. I'll kind of go through a little bit of timeline here. The deadline for senior citizen and disabled veteran exemption applications is March 1st. Property assessments will be mailed out March 20th. The appeal process is March 20th to April 18th. The Board of Equalization is May 8th. Delivery of assessment roll to assembly is by June 1st. And then the mill rate of tax levy is June 1st to June 15th. Any questions?
Madam Mayor.
Assembly member.
So when are we going to see that stuff as an assembly? I thought we were going to get a look at that before it went out.
You will. So we should have it. We're meeting with them this week.
On Friday, yeah. We have the assessment rule. So the next work session on the 28th is to be property tax and assessments completely.
Okay.
And there's some in this packet too.
Okay, and then I did want to give another reminder that we have seen fentanyl showing up in Wrangell and has also been reported in the surrounding communities as well. So just a heads up to community members to just be safe. And then I would like to submit a resolution to apply for the Dingle Johnson Sport Fishing Grant. It's a grant that we really haven't had access to before. In discussions with Senator Steadman, whenever we were there meeting with him, that grant was typically given directly to some of the hatcheries up north. So it never went to the general fund, so we never even had a chance at it. But now they moved the hatchery fund into the general fund, and now this grant is available to everyone to apply for. So what it is, it's a sport fishing grant. And what we'd like to apply for, and it's mainly to apply for anything that deals with sport fishing. So what we'd look at is the initial plan at the Heritage Harbor was to have two ramps, but due to limited funding at the time, the second ramp was eliminated. So what we'd like to apply for is a second ramp at Heritage Harbor. So I'd like to bring that before the assembly for the next assembly meeting, if that's okay.
Assemblymember Morrison.
Do we have a time limit, or do you know what the time frame for that is?
It's due today, as far as the application. But what we put on the application is that it will be submitted for the assembly for approval at the next assembly meeting. But we will get the application in.
Oh, okay, good.
We just had to specify that it hasn't already been approved by resolution.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty soon. I just didn't know it was this soon.
It was pretty quick.
Pretty quick.
Okay, they are hiring, they're interviewing for four applications at the Harbor right now for the administration position, so those are ongoing. We're currently working with P&D engineers, looking at doing a level two condition assessment for the concrete T-dock at the Marine Service Center. So we'll be looking with possibly awarding P&D engineers to go in and actually do a survey condition of that T-dock. And I got a report from Harbors. They've been working around doing a lot of work trying to get ready for the spring. And Maintenance Service Center continues to be busy pulling vessels for winter maintenance needs. And from the library, they applied for an E-rate funding and received a bid from GCI, and the bid came back at $140 per month with a 70% discount, so the cost of the library will be $42 per month. So good job for Margaret for applying for that and getting that. So that's all I had.
Any questions, Assembly Member Powell?
I don't know how long it's been. I thought it was almost a year, but we approved the design and stuff for Myers Chuck. Can we get an update on that for next meeting?
We can.
Any other questions? Borough manager, on November 8th and 22 of last year, by ordinance, We approved to put the old Wrangell Medical Center, an RFP to a commercial realtor. And we sort of held off on that because we had some interest. But with the assembly's approval, I think we should probably go parallel paths and go for that. I think that was suggested by your administrative staff also.
Correct.
So we'll have you go out for an RFP. And I think you can waive by contract with a real commercial realtor individuals or corporations that have already expressed interest in the property.
And we'll try to put that in the contract as well. And then also try to write it up so that not only is it for the sell price, but also for interested parties from an economic development standpoint as well, so that it goes out as an economic development, not only as a sell, but also an economic development opportunity for people that are interested. And I think it'll give everyone a full chance to be able to bid on the property as an economic development piece.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. All right, any other questions? All right, we under the manager's report, we have a financial report. Do we have an infrastructure report tonight?
I was going to do the, so just based on time and how long it's taking for some of the reports, what I was thinking is starting at the next report, we'll just do an infrastructure report at the next meeting, and then we'll combine the economic development and finance together because those tend to take a little bit shorter time, and then do the capital projects separate for infrastructure, if that works.
Sounds good. Yeah, we want to keep our eye on everything. All right.
Right.
Including finances.
I think we scared everybody out of here.
Seriously, everybody out of here.
All right, financial report, highlight of the meeting.
Well, hopefully so. It's actually a pretty positive report. This is our Q2 financial report with some stuff that's embedded real time, so as of today. But for the most part, as of 12/31/2022, kind of going over the fiscal year 22 audit status, we're in good shape. We have a meeting tomorrow to discuss the report that's drafted. We should issue in March, and we've reduced our findings from 8 to 3, which is pretty substantial in 1 year. The 3 findings that remain are really just having a second competent accounting professional on staff or available reviewing things. So nothing that we can't achieve in the next year, which is really exciting. We do have a work session tentatively scheduled for April 11th. I haven't told Kim that yet, but Joy Mariner is going to plan on delivering the audit results for 22 as she did with 21. So pretty positive there to start off. With respect to Treasury, Investment Committee have their February 2023 meeting scheduled for February 22nd, 4:30 p.m. Main talking points will be investment of bond proceeds and drafting financial policies to implement in fiscal year 24. The Alaska Municipal Bond Bank issued our bonds. They sold on the secondary market. We'll receive the proceeds tomorrow. They're expected to be in our account. So $3.5 million in project funds aimed to address the high school, middle school renovation project. So that's very exciting. I think administration will be taking the next steps to do the condition survey and then applying for the CIP major maintenance grant to leverage those extra $6.5 million in funds. So very exciting. We'll probably put the bond proceeds in AMLIP. It's yielding 4.26% right now, which is really quite substantial. It was about 400 basis points less last year, which less than 0.5%, that's not much. So pretty exciting there. Year-to-date investment income, permanent fund and the capital reserve fund, that sticks with APCM. We've seen a lot of volatility early in the year. July through the fall was pretty bad on the market. So we have an unrealized gain in the permanent fund of $18,000, so very nominal. But at one point, we did lose almost over $1 million in realized gains. So we got all those back, and I know that January's been really good for the stock market. So this is also as of December 31st, so this is Q2. So those will have been expanded upon.
And for the public, listening public, will you explain the permanent fund?
Sure. Yeah, so the permanent fund is really comprised of a contribution from the Parks and Rec pool back in the day. It was roughly $1 million back in the day that was contributed to the permanent fund. And then the rest was is really part of is a special revenue fund. It's aimed to seek long-term growth. It's an independent fund, so it's not part of the central treasury. Also, those investment proceeds do not get split prorated across all of our other funds. So it's isolated, but it's really aimed towards long-term growth and to build it, to aid in contribution toward capital projects and needs of the future. So the capital reserve fund, that's got about $4.5 million in it. It's also with APCM. It's more of that moderate, long, 3 to 5 year bucket. We don't need it now, but you know, we want to get preserve some yield through it. So 3 to 5 years maturity is typically the time frame on that. So I have talked to APCM. I think, quite frankly, they've been a bit lazy with it. So trying to revitalize their allocations. I don't think they were aware of our investment policy changes with the capital reserve fund. So. You should see a lot more allocated towards corporate bonds and see more in that 5 to 6% yield, which is pretty exciting for $4.5 million. And then a recent contribution from the investment committee was the Key Bank brokerage account and the AMLIP accounts. Currently in the brokerage account, we did have $18 million in it. Now it's six. We transferred the 12 out to AMLIP. But that's yielded $112,000 over a 3 month period, which is quite substantial. We look to probably get another $400,000 out of that between the brokerage account and AMLIP. Like I said, AMLIP's using 4.26% right now. It's going to go up even further in February because the Fed's remained pretty consistent in yield or rate hikes. So they haven't skewed or deviated from that plan. Total realized gains for this fiscal year, $212,000 in the central treasury. Like I said, we're projecting like $400,000. So kind of bumping up to close to $750,000 in realized gains, and then you never know what's going to happen with the stock market. It could go up from here. So it has in January. We kind of pulled back a little bit at the start of February, but it's quite possible that our permanent fund could see substantial gains and put us over $1 million in investment earnings. So any questions on, I guess I'll just stop at the E section. Any questions on Treasury? Okay. And then sales tax performance. This is as of yesterday, so it's not quarter two necessarily. Quarter two really is going to reflect January numbers because the remittances actually take place on 1/31, so it's most appropriate to tell you what it is now. We budgeted sales tax revenue of $3.3 million. However, the finance department is projecting to receive $3.75 million. Just based on first and second quarter remittances, I think the trend is, I don't think it's underlying activity, I think it's just inflation is the main culprit for the increase in sales tax revenue. So you can kind of see, I've kind of broken it out. It's pretty interesting to break out the sales tax revenue by category. Local sales tax for fiscal year 23 so far, $1.7 million. Alaska Remote Seller Sales Tax Commission, $191,000 halfway through the year. Utilities composes $170,000 of sales tax revenue. The harbor, $41,000, and then the leases and other municipal services such as sales at the Nolan Center, the library, $9,800. So all told, $2.1 million in sales tax taken in halfway through. So that's two local remittances in, and we'll get the third quarter, April 30th, and then the fourth quarter on 7/31. So looking pretty good on the sales tax front. And you can kind of see a breakout of how those are categorized. So 81% is local, 9% is remote sales. And you can see the remote sales actually are trending up. It's not as big as people might think, but it is trending up. You know, Q1 of fiscal year 22 was about 75,000. Q1 this fiscal year, 89,000. And then Q2, 82,000 last year, 102,000 this year. So it is trending up. And that's probably a reflection of both an increase in underlying activity, maybe because of local prices is going up, but also higher prices online too. So that's nice to see. And the sales tax revenue from utility revenue year over year, it's a bigger portion than you think for utilities. So Q2 last year, 83,000, this year, 92,000. A lot of that's just going to be related to consumption and people's electric utility consumption for the period. So we've seen increases in that category as well. Any questions on sales tax at all? Okay. Fiscal year 23 property taxes and calendar year 2023 assessments. So property tax collectability for fiscal year 23 has been assessed at 95.76%, which is historically pretty good. The borough has collected $1.694 million out of the $1.769 million in taxes levied. Adjusted for subsequent assessment rule amendments. So what that means is anytime we came to you and amended the assessment rule, obviously it maybe we charged the Presbyterian Church or something for taxes, and that was not correct. So we would amend the tax rule and decrease the amount of revenue we acknowledge. So that's what that means. We do have our foreclosure process initiated. Today we spent all day drafting out letters and final disclosure or final delinquency statements for those taxpayers that haven't fulfilled their obligations. The assembly on the 24th did approve foreclosure from 2017 to 2022 property taxes. So we're honoring that, and we want to honor the taxpayers that do fulfill their obligations on time. So those will be going out in the mail this week. We're going to have a 30-day period to which we'll then take the next step in the foreclosure process and go from there. So you can kind of see delinquencies by tax year in that graph below on page 3. Everything from 2017, which has $1,300 in delinquent property tax, to 2022 has roughly $75,000. All told, about $171,000 in delinquent property taxes, which is quite substantial. I think it kind of slipped by the last 5 years, and nobody really brought it up, but we're going to amend it and do right by those that fulfill their obligations to the borough, so that's great. Our third-party assessment team, Appraisal Company of Alaska, has generally finalized their assessments for the calendar year 2023. We'll be vetting exemptions to make sure that nobody's doubling up on senior exemptions, or perhaps somebody's passed still has a senior exemption in place and the property's transferred, those kind of things. So we're vetting that one more time before we finally formalize the assessment role prelim to the board hearings in May, the Board of Equalization. And so I did a little analysis here on page 4. The Finance Department recommends the target revenue of property taxes to be a floor of $2 million. This is the assessed value for inside and outside service area properties. So $218 million inside service area, $17 million roughly outside the service area. So this analysis basically shows what would happen if we reduced the mill rate from 12.75 down to 10. Just for kind of a basic historical benchmark, we took in about $1.8 million in property taxes last year, or this year, this fiscal period. Such a move would bring this down to 2.2. Strongly suggest not keeping it at the current mill rate for obvious reasons, but this kind of shows that we can do a sensitivity analysis at the next work session. It's really easy for me to plug in numbers so you guys understand where we're at and where we need to be. And we'll also have the general fund fiscal year 24 draft by then, so I'll be able to tell you what our general fund needs to have for a target revenue to be able to afford their level of services and products that exist right now. So. That's that. Any questions on assessments, property taxes? Okay. Accounts receivable, this one's for Mayor Gilbert specifically, she likes this.
Yeah.
So this is a history of our accounts receivable year over year, month by month. So this is our utilities accounts receivable. Right now it's $333,000 outstanding. Most of that, in fact, well above 90% of it is just current charges on the books. If you look at the table below, it shows each balance above in the chart broken down at an aging schedule level. And you see those negative balances, those are prepaid primarily from outside entities and the tribe. So those are really prepaid utilities that are on our books. So really the only thing that's outstanding is that those that are in that current bucket, which is typical and not in the delinquent realm or anything of that nature. So a good story on accounts receivable for utilities. So, and then I've attached the hardware delinquencies. I think there needs to be some work done on that. So I talked to Steve about what we can do and probably have a spring collections group issued. So you can see that. That's like Exhibit B attached to this report. If you have any questions, happy to talk to you about that. And then we look at the budget for fiscal year 23. don't know how we did it, but we did a good job budgeting. 55.2% of total budget revenues for the year through Q2, so we're about smack right where we want to be for through Q2. And then for Q2 expenditures, we're at 50.2%, so we're like right on track for general fund revenues and expenditures. That trend falls to the enterprise funds. I've attached an exhibit C and D, so you can kind of see where the general fund is. That's obviously our largest fund, most important of the major funds. So you guys can see that high-level analysis, and it's attached to exhibit C and D. And then I guess I can just really quickly go through the exhibits. Exhibit A kind of shows the letter that we're sending people right now for delinquent property taxes, so you kind of get a feel of what the message is. Exhibit B, like I said, that kind of goes over any of the delinquencies in the harbor, and it's just an aging schedule. I think the 120-day buckets get a little sizable, so I'd probably recommend to the harbor master to give one last notice and then start grouping them up for a collections issuance in the spring, which is really typical for us. Exhibit C, those are your general fund revenues. You can kind of look at that. Might need your cheaters. I didn't print it out super big for you. And then Exhibit D is your general fund expenses, and it shows the percent used column. So coincidentally, my department's the highest, except for the community service organizations. But that's largely because the audit, we did two audits in 1 year, so we kind of doubled the price on that. Assessment services were a little bit more expensive, and those haven't been allocated out to the other departments. So you'll see my percentage in the finance department actually decrease. But yeah, 50.2% for general fund expenditures. And then we have Exhibit E, which kind of goes over our cash flows for our bond issuance. It has an amortization schedule, a payment schedule. Our first payment will be in June. And like I said, we get the proceeds tomorrow. And then there's some interesting rates on page 43 of Exhibit E. And that really shows our arbitrage yield, true interest cost, average coupon. What's most important is that average coupon. We issue these bonds at a premium, meaning the buyer of our bonds expects 5% from us. So that's what we're paying on these bonds. But we get more funds for that. So we issued 3.1 in par, but we received 3.5 in project funds. So we're getting more money for a premium percentage. So and that, all the GEO bond issuances were like that in the 2023 GEO series. Arbitrage yield is not as important as I thought. I had a meeting with the bond bank. Oh, sorry.
Oh, and for the community, we're investing that money.
We are, yep. So it'll be invested.
As soon as we get it, it's being invested.
Yep, and we actually have a separate AMLIP account being created right now for that purpose, so it stays isolated and invested appropriately. And the arbitrage yield is not as important. I originally was mistaken in presenting to the assembly that we can't go above that percentage. We can actually go above that percentage in the first 3 years. We're not allowed to do it after the three-year period. So we have to have 85% of any construction activity completed by 3 years. So that's going to be February 2026. So that's kind of the goal. It's kind of, we want to keep that in mind. If we don't, we run the risk of some IRS tax consequences. So just keep that on your radar. That's kind of all for the exhibits. Oh, no, there's one more. Exhibit F. This is the assessment roll as it is right now. So this, I have attached 2023 and then 2022s. Don't pay any attention to that date on the top right hand corner. I think that's just an automated function. But you can see the total taxable property value is $235,000 this year as opposed to $150,000 last year. So the assessors did do some work on increasing property values. We're hoping that it's all equitable and there's some parity there. And that if there's not, then that's resolved in the Board of Equalization hearing. So I encourage folks to take a look at their assessments coming out.
That's $235 million, right? Not $235,000?
Yeah, $235 million. Yep. Okay. Sorry if I misspoke there. And then just a few other talking points. I'd like to get some ideas from you guys. Tidelands leases. We've had a history of not selling tidelands. I think that's just kind of a thing that we've done for so long. But there is, we hold about 15 tidelands leases that are outstanding right now that are really residential area properties that we're not going to do anything with. They're high maintenance because we have to get them appraised every 3 years, Kim, is that right?
Five.
Every 5 years, so that's something that we pay for, and most of them are really nominal leases, so I think you actually have one on the agenda that's, what's $49 a month, which is that mini bar one. So those kind of leases that I think we might entertain just selling and get them on the property tax rolls. Right now, people can't get a loan and put a dock on them or develop them because they're not their property. So that might entice people to actually develop them and do something with them.
Assemblymember Powell.
So what's it normally cost us in 5 years to do to get those appraised?
$1,200.
So we make $49 a year on them or $49 a month?
$49 a month for that specific one.
That's a year.
Oh, that one's a year.
Huh? That one's a year. It's a very small. It's very small, but in general, they're about, I'm sorry.
Please.
Like $1,200, $1,500. Some are over $3,000. The ones over the sea level ones, those are like $12,000. Those are higher. But the ones that Mason's talking about are, generally around $1,000 or less.
Try not to name names of ones, but some of them don't even make sense, like the Leslie one that's right behind us that has a piece of title. Has
we just approved that one.
Right, right. But
well, you will be.
More
tonight,
like that.
So. At the next meeting, you will be. But.
So just a pulse on that, what you guys think about that?
Assembly, should we give him the go-ahead on that? Obviously, you will talk with the Port Commission.
Port and the
Planning and Zoning. Yeah. And in terms of economic development, Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Yeah, Mayor, I'm really glad that we're looking at this because exactly what's coming up with these, especially these little sliver pieces. Mm-hmm. Like tonight, there's one for 720 square feet. Mm-hmm. I think that one we get $42 a year. Those kind of things are silly, but there's another part of that too, is that there are encumbrances on the people who may want to do something for economic development. So there's actually a break, I think, on if people go to the bank or get into property transactions.
So it's been challenging with this previous one. I've been to the bank probably four times in the last couple weeks, just trying to work with the bank on what that really means and what my authorities were versus what the Assembly's authorities were and what I can and can't do as part of that, because whenever they're trying to take out a loan and part of that's part of a lease, I'm not allowed to let them transfer the lease over. That's the Assembly approval. So trying to work that out with the bank on how that's written and how they move forward with it, it's challenging for both the bank and for us trying to move forward with that, just on how our code is written. And I checked with our legal staff as well to just trying to understand how it's written and then what we could do. But I think trying to sell those properties would be much easier than especially allowing them to develop it and or even sell the property. The one that's tied to makes it a lot easier.
Exactly. Assemblymember Powell.
So the other thing of this is if we come across where some of these tied lands and people are, I mean, honestly, if I didn't need to get loans or anything like that, and you're charging $49 a year, I don't. And then you're saying, well, the land's worth $5,000, and we want to sell it to you. I'm going to go like, no. Okay, so how do we go? My question is going to be.
So we'd have to do an appraisal and the fair market value. And for instance, the one that you're talking about.
Well, I'm not talking about either any specific one.
Okay.
I'm talking about if I own one of these tide lands that you're talking about, and it's only costing me, say, $50 a year, just to throw a number out there, and you want to sell it to me for fair market value of $5,000, well, $50 a year is going to be 100 years.
Well, that's not what it would be. It would be $750 is how much the fair market value on that particular one you're talking about.
Okay, so you're
it's
still
not
talking
really
very middle,
it's a good,
very,
yeah.
Yeah. So my suggestion is to make these where we're, because to me it looks like we're losing money. We're actually losing money on these if we're assessing these.
On that specific transaction, you are losing money.
Okay, so but then other ones you would be too, more than likely, if that's the way it's been going.
Yeah, that's a pretty gross exaggeration, because most of them are truly 1,000 and up. But and they are reassessed every 5 years, so you are paying a $1,200 appraisal. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so exactly. So you're not really making money on them either.
Right.
No.
So since you spark those, if they don't want to sell them, then we're going to start to tack on the price of an appraisal also on the lease is what I'm saying. Because I don't see where we would have to ever lose money on anything we do. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, kind of bringing it up.
Yeah.
There's nothing that says we can't do that.
Right, exactly.
Right. Okay, Assemblymember Morrison. Through the chair, I agree with what Assemblymember Powell was saying, that we would be losing money, but if we're selling land and they develop it into something that's going to produce, you know, better property taxes, better sales taxes, that's...
Well, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. I want the land sold.
No, I do. I know.
Yeah.
No, I do too.
Yeah.
I want it sold. I want it in private ownership.
Yeah, right. And Clerk Plain? Because I think what Assemblymember Morrison is kind of alluding to is that if you have somebody who has tie lands and they're putting something, you know, very, you know, a small structure, whatever, but if they buy them, they can get a loan and they could put something nice there, could be assessed, and then when it's assessed, we get a lot more property taxes. So... Assemblymember Howell.
One of what keeps bouncing through my head listening to Assemblymember Powell is too, like, I can imagine if I was adjacent to Tidelands, I would probably be interested in buying them as soon as it came out, because I wouldn't want someone to be like, well, I'll buy and put a yurt on it or something weird. Mm-hmm. So, like, if it goes to market and it goes to bid, like, someone else could buy your, like, little Tideland. You know, I mean, it seems unlikely, but I think there's part of that too. You might buy this so nobody else can.
Right.
Sure.
And then with our Tidelands lease, are we restructuring that? Because we have a Tidelands lease on the agenda tonight, and it reads differently to me than other previous Tideland leases.
So the one that you see on there, that's the memorandum of the lease. Memorandum of lease.
Okay.
So that's what gets recorded.
And do all the memorandum of leases, do they all include the general liability insurance factor?
Mm-hmm. Okay. The ones that have signed them. You can see the one that's on there tonight. I'm sorry to hijack your report.
No, by all means, yeah.
The one that's on there tonight is, that one was 50 years ago.
We always had trouble with Tideland leases.
Yeah, so we're trying to renew them.
Right, they were so poorly written.
Yeah. A lot of them just were, we took on from the state, and that there was never a new lease done. It was just the state's lease, and and the transfer, and so they're just really bad, like one or two pages.
Exactly. So. Some of them are 50 years old, mm-hmm. 60 years old, yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, so we have agreement to have our finance director check that out and report back to us.
Okay.
And obviously, you have to check with Port Commission and get their okay.
Planning and zoning as well. Yep.
Okay.
That sounds great. And then just checking in on the March 6th joint school meeting. Is there any particular information that you guys want? I just don't know how you guys want that to be carried out this year. And it'd be great if it was more of a conversation than just kind of listening. So.
Well, I'll get together with the board president, Dave Wilson, and I do think it would be more beneficial to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. I do want to assure them, sorry, borough manager, but that we will have that elevator and the fire alarm system geared up for repair. And I think the board may have some information on not only their budget, but maybe restructuring, what they're thinking of and how we can help facilitate that. And we'd like to have a report on their condition report when that's been issued and things of that sort. Does anybody else have anything that they would like to? We should really have an agenda for that workshop. It'll be an hour and a half we plan, workshop with the school board?
Yeah. Generally, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to see if you had any financial, you know, questions that I could come with or prepare anything. So if you do, just send me an email and we can make sure that you guys have it at your fingertips there.
Yeah, and I'd like to strengthen that partnership. Mm-hmm. You know, if we could do bulk purchasing or are we still... servicing their vehicles. I think we are with our garage, and I know that their facilities management person works with our capital facilities person, so mm-hmm. Still would like to strengthen that partnership.
Great. Rates work session March 14th, so that'll be ready for you guys. We'll have a big PowerPoint presentation for you. Go through all the enterprise fund rates. I think it's probably worth mentioning we really should consider an RFP for professional service for grant writing with Carol leaving. I think there's a lot of institutional knowledge we should take advantage of having now, and I just don't see that we're going to be able to meet all the grant opportunities with just with Kate coming on board and Amber already having a lot of projects. I think that's just a realistic thing to do. So I just wanted to make sure that was a good thing to get a pulse on, and if you guys think that's a good idea. We do have funding available this year already. It's appropriated last year's budget, but might be good to get on somebody on board so we don't miss some of these opportunities. Yeah.
I think it's a great idea now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So will you have a report for us on cost and some ideas of the grants? I know we are trying to go for a grant for a ramp. And
right, so the RAISE grant is what we're applying for the Harbor Basin.
Harbor.
Yep. And yep. Then the Dingle Johnson for the ramp for the Heritage, and then a couple other grants we're looking at. PIDP, Port Infrastructure Development Plan grant, which depending on what we do there, and I've had conversations with MARAD, that's a MARAD grant.
Mm-hmm.
That could be for the ramp, for the container ramp. So take a look at that as well, the barge ramp, and then where that's going to be, and could just be a planning grant for that one that we asked for, but trying to schedule those out. And then there's the CAPSIS that we submitted tonight that was due, so that was submitted as well. So trying to stay on top of the grants, but there's money out there, just trying to get them all applied for.
Good. And concerning CAPSIS, it's a little bit off topic, but concerning the CAPSIS, will you tell the assembly what Senator Steadman suggested with us in terms of the public safety building in the fire department, which I thought was a very good idea?
So for that one, he did mention that they're trying to go after funding, and especially if we can partner with some other communities that have the same needs as far as the fire department, that there's multiple communities that have needs of the same thing. It's easier to try to go after funding and build a coalition if we can do that. So try to separate out the fire department where it's a fire department project. At least that's what I took away from it.
Yes, me too.
So.
Yeah, so at least we could get, partial funding for part of that problem. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No,
anything else? Assembly Member Powell.
So you were talking about grant writing, and you were talking about funding of that, so do you... I don't know much about grant writing, but I just assumed that when you have a grant writer, don't they get paid by positive grants, or do they get paid no matter what?
Yeah, there's several different ways to structure the agreements. Kind of like our bond attorneys, we don't pay them unless we have a successful issuance and they actually do the work. So I think you see grant writing agreements a lot of different ways, but yeah, it's going to be incentivized towards achieving the grant. There might be a base fee for just trying, but... I don't think it'll be super, super expensive. I just think it'd be good to have somebody consistent on board now that Carol's here, and just kind of have some continuity until the new economic development director can get on board with everything and just kind of help. There's just a lot out there in general, even for all of us existing. Well,
it could be challenging actually getting someone, like getting a firm on to actually do the work, because there's so much grant money out there right now. Like HDR, they're a prime company that does grant writing as well, but I think even trying to get a contractor on to do grant writing could be challenging, just given that there's just so much work out there right now.
Yeah, I think it's worth trying. My last point. It's just, I think we brought this up in the budget timeframe last fiscal year for fiscal year 23. We put all these projects down, put 35 different projects down. It's really hard to do a lot of things well for anybody. It's just, for any organization, it's really hard to do. So I don't know how we can refine our scope or ensure that we get the most critical pieces done first. I mean, the water treatment plants, the critical sewer and water infrastructure, those projects first, and not other projects that may preclude us from reaching those. I know that grant funding is super attractive, But if it's for something as, such as a trail or something that's not as critical to our infrastructure development and the longevity of this town, we should refocus a little bit because that's, you know, we got to focus on the critical infrastructure if we want to be long-term sustainable. So that'd be kind of like the last time I beat that drum, but want to plant that in everybody's head. So.
Well said. We have a lot of projects.
Yeah.
We still haven't figured out what to do with the public safety building.
Oh, you had to bring that up.
Yep, I had to go there. All right, any other questions? Thank you for the report. It was excellent, and we're in good shape.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mason.
All right, borough clerk's report, please.
Mine isn't as long, I promise. First and foremost, I want to let you know I have not forgotten about doing the ordinance to change the investment committee to the finance committee. Mason said something this evening. I'm like, I forgot. So I have that on my list. That'll be at the next on the next agenda for that ordinance. That's an easy one. Senator Sullivan is going to be visiting Wrangell next week on Wednesday, the 22nd. And there is going to be a roundtable discussion at the Nolan Center, and I have a public notice ready to go out, and also to all of the boards and commission leaders to let everybody know. So pretty much all of the WCA is going to be invited, all the boards, commissions, a school board, of course, and the assembly, who's going to be here, the chamber, who you'll be an AML, and so I already told Ms. Klein that you wouldn't be here, so as well as the mayor and the manager. So anyway, I think it'll be good. It'll be good for him to go around and they're going to do a drive-through with the finance director and be able to see the projects that are up and coming and that are most important to us here in Wrangell. So that's exciting. So that's happening. And then also on the agenda tonight, you'll see there's an ordinance to remove the fees for permits and other permits for building permits, conditional use permits, and et cetera, from the code. And that's just kind of keeping in line with removing fees from the code so we can have them in the fee schedule. So you will see that fee schedule at the next assembly meeting under a public hearing along with the second reading of the ordinance if it is approved tonight. And we did have a code review committee meeting not this last Friday but the Friday prior and talked about for the permits is just for right now until we are able to update our code section on permits and kind of dig deep into what we should be charging. It's so easy to just look at other communities and see what they're charging and say, well, we're just going to charge that. But we have to make sure we can provide the services that, you know, to back up those fees. So right now, because our fees are very low, we're looking at doubling the fees. So for $75, you know, we're going to double that. For a building permit, it's $100, so $200. Mm-hmm. And then that doesn't mean we're locked in, though. We can always come back for a public hearing to raise the fees if we need to through a resolution, which is allowable. So I just wanted to kind of just get that ball rolling and just let the community know and the assembly know that that's what we kind of talked about. Any questions on that?
Any questions? I don't see any.
Okay, good. I really like the idea of putting our work sessions and upcoming meetings in that the kind of format I have on page 2 of my report, and so I'm going to probably continue doing that. I think it just is easier to read. I think that's all I have, unless anybody has anything.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. All right. Mayor and Assembly business. Any Assembly members have anything to report? Assembly Member Robbins.
Yes, thanks, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to let you guys know that I do have community members that have asked me about the progress with the Institute property in progress with the water facility, and so people are noticing that forward motion and asking if it's real, and I'm always excited to tell them yes it is, so I just wanted to let you know people are noticing.
Yes. Good atmosphere in town. Any other reports? All right, seeing none. Mayor and Assembly appointments, investment committee or finance committee.
Upcoming.
We still would welcome public input. If anyone in the public would like to sign up for that committee, we would appreciate the public oversight, the public suggestion. We want to assure Wrangell that we are investing every cent we possibly can to maximize return on our money. So and it's safe investments. So we just had a very, very promising finance report. So please get a hold of the clerk if you're interested. We'll even meet at your convenience. Mm-hmm. So don't let that hold you back. All right. Item 11A, we have a public hearing. This is ordinance number 1035 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending certain sections in Chapter 5.10, titled Purchases and Sales of the Wrangell Municipal Code. I will now open the public hearing and ask for an administrative report, please.
Madam Mayor, this changes the thresholds for the borough manager spending limits. Basically kind of doubles the thresholds from 25 to 50,000 for the manager spending authority, and then for competitive bidding or quotes from 10 to 20. And then we're still under the same cap for 25. If it's above 25, I still have to go out for three bids, and there's certain requirements I still have to meet for wage and grade.
Okay, and this will allow the manager to act quickly.
Correct.
Especially in emergencies. There's no public testimony, so I'm going to close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 1035.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Howell. Any discussion, Assembly? This is the second reading. All right, hearing none, poll vote please.
Yes, Assemblymember Stalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. No unfinished business for tonight. New business, item 13A, ordinance number 1036 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending certain sections in Chapter 18.04, titled Building Code, Chapter 20.68, Conditional Use Permits, Chapter 20.72, Variances, and Chapter 20.76, Amendments, and establishing a new process for rates and fees in the Wrangell Municipal Code by adding the fees to the established fee and rate schedule.
Move to approve first reading of ordinance number 1036 and move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held on February
28, 2023. Second. Okay, motion by Powell, second by Morrison. Administrative report.
Madam Mayor, again, just trying to go through our code and pull out anything that's currently in ordinance, and then as far as rates and fees, and put it into a rate and fee schedule that allows us to look at them and adjust them once a year.
And the rate and fee schedule will be published on our new website.
It is published.
Good. Easy to find. All right. And again, these are not raising the rates. It's just putting them in the fee schedule.
Fee schedule.
Right. Any questions, comments? All right, hearing none, poll vote please.
Yes, Assembly members David Powell?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howell?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13B, this is on page 38, approval of consent to assignment of leased tide lands from Patty Couts to Roland Wimberly, doing business as Wolf's Den's Rentals, LLC.
Move to approve consent to assignment of leased tide lands from Patty Couts to Roland Wimberly, DBA Wolf's Den's Rentals, LLC.
Second.
Okay, motion by Morrison, second by Powell. Administrative report.
I believe the property is being sold, so this is just changing the lease over that's attached to that piece of property over.
Okay, and this new picture that you put on our table illustrates that property. Any questions or comments, Assembly? Assembly Member Morrison?
This doesn't have to do directly with this, but it's related to it. Are they still planning on building a new walkway?
WCA?
WCA from this lot out to the Shakes House?
I don't know.
They're still in discussions with it. We haven't moved forward with anything, but we need to work with WCA on it.
Okay, I'm just curious.
Any other questions? All right, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13C, page 57, Assembly. Approval to move the art gallery into the Nolan Center Small Theater.
Move to approve moving the art gallery into the Nolan Center Small Theater.
Second.
Okay, motion by Robbins, second by Morrison. Report, please.
So I think this will be a good move as far as moving the art gallery into that area. I think it's a lot of the same customers that we could then be able to expand out with the services we currently provide over there. I do think as we develop the contract for this, and have talked to a couple of assembly members on it, but it might be better to, if we did the lease with members of, or the Friends of the Museum, who could then sublease it out. So then it would be to a nonprofit organization who could then sublet it out from there. And then because it's nonprofit, then those profits would, any lease that they had would then, those profits would then go into the Friends of the Museum. So I think that's a really good idea to do it that way.
I hadn't thought of that, but that is a good idea.
Dalrymple brought that up to me today, and I think it's a great idea.
That's a good idea. Assembly Member Dalrymple.
You had one.
I'm going to mark that down. Yes, Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Well, we'd like to comment. I agree with that very much, but another advantage of that would be to strengthen the volunteer groups that are already working with the borough, and that the Friends of the Museum already does that, basically. They're there to help. I don't know exactly when they started inviting them. Maybe before the new one. It's got longevity here in town. Mm-hmm. It's good. I think it'd be a big fit.
Very good. And I suggested a short-term lease to begin with, just for us to see how it goes. But what does the Assembly think about that? Assembly Member Dalrymple.
My only other concern, because they did talk about, I don't know if the word remodel is the right word, but wanting to change out, and my hope is that we would keep that room as functional as possible and not like dismantle any features in it, but go ahead and allow them to set up as they need to in there, but not remove, you know, like projectors and
correct
wiring and that kind of stuff. Yeah. Because that room has, even during the outside of the season, it becomes a meeting room for like the conventions that we have. Hopefully we have more in the future. It does fill a need once in a while.
Correct. And the comments I get from the public is that they feel it'll bring even more people in during the off season, bring people into the museum, so in the gift center. So I think this is good. Assembly Member Powell?
I'm wondering why this is in front of us, to be honest.
Kind of thought the same thing.
Okay. As Assembly Member and a Vice Mayor, I feel that this is trivial. I think this should be done through the person at the Nolan Center and the City Manager. This is something I just don't feel that is something. Now, I don't approve it, but in the future, when it comes to our buildings and that kind of stuff, I think that's more for the city manager and the person that's operating that building. It's just, I just think it's a great idea. I like it, but I could have read it in a report, is what I'm saying. I'm just no disrespect to anybody, but it's just, I think this could have been taken care of in-house. I don't see where we have to approve this. It's a great idea. Why are we having to approve it, is what I'm saying.
Well, I like the idea of approving it, because it shines a public spotlight on the transaction and the move and the cooperation.
Well, what I'm saying, why I'm bringing it up is I don't want everything to ever happen. Like, if they want to change something in the room, in any other building and stuff, I don't want us to have to approve it every time something like that happens. That's just what I'm saying.
I kind of agree. Like, if Public Works was like, hey, we're going to hang our wrenches on a different wall. Well,
I know that's probably not the same thing, but I'm just saying that I think this could have been taken care of in-house. And I read the whole thing. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, it is.
I just thought that it was a little trivial for us to have to approve something like this that is something to me that's already a no-brainer.
Well, we have to create a lease, because there's going to be funding required,
right?
And because we have to create a lease, requires assembly approval for that.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Is this something that's not, when we come up and do stuff in buildings and stuff, that we don't still have to prove every little thing?
Well, at the next meeting, we have paint chips to look at because they want to change the colors. So be prepared for that.
I didn't understand that we were actually going to create a lease here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're making it legal, official.
Okay, so we are creating a lease here then.
Yes.
That's why we're seeing this.
Yes.
All right. Well, then I misunderstood that part of it. So I'm good with it. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Any other concerns? All right. Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assemblymembers Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item D, this is on page 61, approval of Tidelands lease renewal for Lot 7, Block 83-A, Wrangell Tidelands addition for Lynn Campbell.
Move to approve the renewal of the Tidelands lease, describes as Lot 7, Block 83-A, requested by Lynn Campbell.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Morrison. Administrative report, please.
It's renewal date will be September 2043 with 6 5-year renewal options. So it's a long-term lease.
And Clerk Lane?
So it was a 50-year lease. We took it on from the state, and it expired. And so Ms. Campbell didn't realize it expired, so I sent her a letter. She was not available for some time, so then finally I got a hold of her again, and she sent me a letter requesting to renew. And we're following, as Manager Good stated, the new guidelines that's in our code for the longevity of the lease.
Okay, therefore that explains the new lease format and terms. And
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any questions, comments? Okay, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13E, it's on page 85, discussion and possible direction for a resolution to support the Alaska Trollers Association against a lawsuit to stop the Chinook salmon fishery in southeast Alaska. And this is a discussion item. Manager, would you give us an update? We had a citizen talk to us about this.
I can. He did a really good job of explaining it. An NGO is basically suing, I think, the federal government, trying to go after the Trollers Association as well, as far as allowing the trollers in southeast Alaska to fish for king salmon that could return back to the Seattle area. Which would basically shut down our fishery up here for Chinook salmon.
Okay. And we have an amount of reference material here. Does any assembly member have any discussion? Assembly member Dalrymple.
Madam Mayor, thank you. This is, as many of these, I guess, lawsuits or challenges to Alaska from outside interests of great importance to me. And, you know, I've watched these over the years, for decades now. And the Endangered Species Act is a very powerful law, and it has some really sharp teeth in it. And groups that are almost always not in the locality of the area often use these to basically halt national projects or projects in other states. And this is a classic example. And you'll see this in the following item as well with wolves. But these are quite often brought up in remote or distant areas, and they're not by residents or even, you know, brought up as a factor in that process. But you can get to a friendly law district or whatever and drop these in, and they all are the other commonality about them, and they call them charismatic megafauna, but they're always big animals that people love. And then you get the as small an area as you can get defined of population, and then come up with risk to it, and then it's worked effectively over and over again. And I view this as that. This is the first one that I've seen that takes on directly the fishing industry. And of course, it's only on Alaska's trawlers, not on theirs or anybody else's, or the international fisheries, on and on and on. But I'm very concerned about this, and I totally believe it affects the well-being of the community. It has a direct effect, or could have a direct effect on us. I greatly appreciate the resolution that they provided here. It's very well written. And my recommendation is that we would use that format if the Assembly desired to put our thoughts into it. And I also want to thank Mr. Stillwell for coming. You know, that's really important to me, is to have local people come and talk about carries a lot more weight to me than just, you know, letters and petitions and things from other groups. So. That's all my thoughts.
To express that the local impact does carry a lot of weight. Assembly Member Howe.
I want to echo Bob. I'd like to see a resolution before us, or this resolution. I mean, it's baffling to me, because I listen to this. I got a finger on the pulse of, like, what is a healthy fishery? What is an environmentally sustainable fishery? And Alaska fisheries are well managed, and they're from other organizations, like, you know, like the environmental organizations, if you want to put a point on it, they like will recognize the Alaska fisheries as being well managed, sustainable fisheries that take care of fish and communities. So this is baffling and just crazy to me. And it's
they're self managed, aren't they, and very well. Our fisheries.
Yeah.
So, and the resolution, draft resolution is on page 127. Does the Assembly agree that we'll direct our borough manager to submit that?
Can I?
In our name? Yes, Assembly Member Howe.
And if other communities really are like helping to like to support financially, like the Alaska trawlers and like defending themselves in court, like I would. If it's been done in the communities and there's precedent for it, I'd be supportive of that too. This is it's a very important thing for our community, and
we'll probably need a motion.
Well,
and go ahead.
No, the Assembly would have to approve that resolution. We'd have to bring it back. Mm-hmm. So if we have to do a special Assembly meeting, because you would be approving the document and the resolution number. So if the Assembly, when does this need to be?
I don't know if there's
yesterday.
A time. Well,
because if it's time sensitive, then we could set up a special Assembly meeting just for this purpose. And we could do it by Zoom if you wanted to, because that's allowable.
Well, I don't know if we need to do that, but Assembly Member Morrison?
As I understand it, it's with the judge now.
Yeah.
That's why I said we should have had in yesterday, but.
Right.
I would think it would be time critical.
Mm-hmm. Does the Assembly want to hold a special meeting by Zoom?
It'd be quick, and I would definitely, I mean, so we have to have 3-day notice, or we can do it Friday?
Yeah. We could certainly do
We'd
it
have
Friday.
To do it Friday. Friday, any time that would work for at least four of you.
Any time Friday is fine with me.
Yeah, we do.
So let's pick a time.
I mean, even if you want, if you wanted to do it like in the sometime in the day, we could do it during the day, and that way we can get
2 p.m.
sent out. Would you work for the majority
2 p.m.
of you?
Friday?
I work, but I could not.
Can we make it 4 p.m. Friday?
Well, we only need four of us.
We only need four.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so 4 p.m. Friday by Zoom
or 2 p.m.
2 p.m.
And if I can Zoom in, if I
okay.
can,
I'll send it out, and if you can, okay. Yeah, we'll do it by Zoom.
Right, and they are asking for a $7,500 contribution, but we could have that in the motion.
Well, it could be in the resolution.
I can put,
it could be part of the resolution.
Yeah, if there's a rough amount, we can put that in a resolution.
Assembly Member Dalrymple.
I'd like to speak to the funding. You know, this is a lawsuit against National Marine Fisheries Service, so it's already fully funded,
already fully
if you will,
funded.
By quite qualified folks to deal with that Department of Justice. So I'm not sure what our funding would go to or what Alaska Troller Association would use that for. My impression is they're probably getting ready for an appeal, and maybe that's another time to get back a little more specific on funding needs for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And to back up Assemblymember Dalrymple, we have gone down this road before with class action suits and contributed. So I am hesitant, and I told Mr. Stilwell that before the meeting of contributing any money at this stage, so
that's right.
I'm hesitant about that. Assemblymember Morrison.
Because it's a federal entity that we're dealing with, and what's the name of that law that no matter whether you win or lose, if you're a federal entity suing, it's paid for, so.
The other side gets paid.
Hmm.
No matter, another part that kind of goes with that in the background information here is that this organization that brought this lawsuit, the Trollers Association indicates that they've already received close to $1 million in funding, which is being used against the federal government. So, again, it's just a sticky mess there when it gets to funding and the legal part.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll take that in consideration.
So backwards.
2 p.m. Friday.
So many other fisheries.
All right. Any other questions on this discussion item? Seeing none, our last item, 13F, approval to add the city and borough of Wrangell to the Klawak, Alaska Fish and Game Advisory Council petition against placing the Alexander Archipelago wolf in Southeast Alaska as threatened or endangered under the U.S. Endangered Species Act.
Move to approve supporting adding the city and borough of Wrangell to the Klawak, a.k.a. Fish and Game Advisory Council petition against placing the Alexander Archipelago wolf in Southeast Alaska as threatened or endangered under U.S. Endangered Species Act.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Morrison. And for the listening public, borough manager.
So they have a letter that's basically from all the surrounding communities. It would just add our name to the list. Again, this is an organization that's trying to get the wolf added to the Endangered Species Act on Prince of Wales Island. So it basically shut down that hunting on the island for the wolf.
So. Okay. Any questions, comments? Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Maybe this is a parliamentary process, but when would be the appropriate time to add an amendment to the motion?
Right now, mm-hmm. Yeah. You have control of amendments.
Well, I haven't done this before, but I move to amend the motion and replace the wording to just join in the petition itself and just state that we would provide either a letter or a resolution in our own words in support.
Okay.
of, or I guess in opposition to the listing of the wolf.
So I'm unclear, what are you removing and what are you adding?
I'm not needing words to not go. I guess the problem I have with this is the petition idea itself. In my opinion, a petition is not necessarily a government function. It's an individual's or an organization function. And I think we have a higher level of sovereignty here than just to add our name onto something. And I do have problems with some of the wording in that petition. It's anti-logging, you know, and brings in just other stuff that if we sign that, we're approving all of that, every word of it. So I would rather us write our own either resolution or letter stating very similar things, but just to keep it clean.
Okay. Would you, considering your amendment, choose, do you want to say either letter or resolution? Resolution would come back to us. We could direct the borough manager to write a letter.
A question to the mayor, which one is more powerful to?
Probably a resolution. It'll have to come back to us for approval.
Amend to use a resolution rather than a petition.
So, okay. What I might propose is to withdraw this motion altogether and then to direct the borough manager to bring back a resolution. That's what I would suggest.
All right. Let's vote this motion.
Or you can just say, if there's any opposition to strike this motion.
Okay, it belongs to the body.
It belongs to the body. So if there's any objection.
As a body, we can strike the motion entirely. Is that agreeable? Nod of heads. I see everyone nodding.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
I mean, all right. I guess I don't see what Bob did, but that's fine.
We'll take Assemblymember Dalrymple's idea and direct the borough manager to come back with a resolution at our next assembly meeting concerning this item. That's a good idea. Assemblymember Powell.
I'd like to thank Assemblymember Dalrymple for his knowledge on this, the fish game one. And with this wolf work, keeping up on this stuff, because this is a lot of work.
Yeah, and I caught the logging bit too, so I'm glad we're doing it this way.
Yeah.
Good catch.
Yep.
All right, assembly, we are finished with our agenda. Attorney's file is in the clerk's office, and we are going to adjourn at 7:33. And happy Valentine's Day, everyone.